Welcome to the Tesseract Podcast, where we unlock your power to innovate. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Dan, and we're your co-hosts. Our mission is to empower airmen, connect them to resources, and accelerate change across the Air Force logistics enterprise.
Specifically, our team works as an innovation accelerator assigned to the Air Staff Logistics Directorate, where we partner with airmen to operationalize the new sustainment strategy.
Welcome to the Tesseract Podcast. Today we have Techno Sergeant Tyler Jones from Pope Air Force Base. Tyler, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, everyone. Tech Sergeant Tyler Jones, coming from Pope Army Airfield in North Carolina, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're happy to have you here on the podcast and looking forward to hearing more about your story as we move through. You want to tell us a little bit about your AFSC and kind of maybe a little background on your career?
Yeah, I've actually been in the Air Force for just under 10 years now. I'm a material manager, supply guy by trade. I've actually only been stationed at two bases as of now, Whiteman Air Force Base and Pope as of now, and a lot of people call it No Hope Pope, which is farther from the truth, I'd like to think. It's definitely a base where it's a hidden gem of the Air Force. There's a lot of things going on, and a lot of innovation is happening every single day there. So it's definitely a base where if you want to get after something, you can definitely do it there, as well as like personal life and whatnot. But I've been all over with the supply career field through the 9 years that I've been in, working with fighters, bombers, and now working a little bit with the SOCOM side, which has definitely been very interesting. And it's been a lot of fun. I have not one complaint about the Air Force. Air Force hasn't done me wrong at all, and it's been a pretty wild trip, and I'm very blessed to be where I'm at in my career, and having the leadership in place now that challenges me every day to come up with new and more innovative ways to do things more efficiently. Originally from New York, I claim Missouri, ironically, since we're here at St. Louis for the LOA, which is very interesting, coming back home to kind of see some family and being able to still see some amazing logistics leaders here at LOA.
Great. Yeah, that sounds like a great career so far, and I'm sure you've been challenged plenty of times throughout it and overcome a lot of things and learned a lot of things along the way. Being a maintainer myself, I'm a crew chief. For maybe half of the first half of my career, supply was this kind of void, right? Where you would go pick up your parts and then you come back. And then you start learning the ins and outs of, you know, how complex the supply chain is and the operations you do every day, just to keep things moving, right? Mm-hmm. And it's vastly complex, and our airmen are making it happen day in and day out. But that doesn't mean that everything's perfect, right? There's plenty of challenges, hidden in the depths of the way we operate as a force and as we operate with our joint counterparts and things like that. And so, I'd love to talk a little bit about how, one of those challenges that you identified and, you know, maybe how you came about it and then, how we came to a solution.
Yeah, most definitely, like you said, there's always room for improvement in the Air Force, and it takes every single person, even at the lowest level, to come up with ways to think of things better, come up with more efficient ways of doing business. And one challenge that I faced was a couple years ago, it was about 3 years ago now, and I had identified a severe issue with our current regulation at the time, was about 4 years outdated, and the situation was in AFMAN 23-122, which is pretty much the logistics bible for supply. And this was more or less tackling a issue that we had with our turn-in documentation process. And with the regulations outdated, a lot of the older heads in the logistics rooms around the Air Force know that ESS is the legacy program that we were using when the regs were written, and we are currently in the new and improved ILSS system. And to kind of streamline the conversation a little bit, long story short, we had been forced to write 2,000 files for every single turn-in that we had so that we could account for the document. And now ILSS completely streamlines it and generates a digital 1348-1A for that actual turn-in. And we were fighting with our QA, stating, like, we should be able to use this form. It's produced by the Air Force. It's a output transaction, and it is a sourceable document now, and it wasn't when this reg was written. So how about we write a paragraph in there to basically state that we can actually use that form, and instead of hand-jamming in 15 little items that had to be on that document, now all of a sudden now we only have to write in two. So completely cutting the time down. And the challenges that I faced was innovation at that time was still very new to the Air Force, and it was very taboo to talk about. And that is not talking about policy at all, because when I first brought this up and I wanted to work it as an innovation office, I was told by some older gentlemen at my base that policy change is not innovation. It is not. And I think after the long fight that I had to get this approved, my policy change approved, it is 100% innovation. And I think if we don't clearly state what we want to do, then we won't be able to do it. And the Army is already doing everything in the right mentality of, if it states that you can't do it, everything else means you can. And in the Air Force, it's, well, maybe you can, maybe you can't. And that's where I think we're missing the mark in the Air Force. And I think logisticians in any capacity should be able to address those issues. And that's not just supply. I think in any career field, you see a discrepancy in the regulations. It's not clear. Get with your innovation office and start working with your Spark cells, and they will get you in contact with the right people. And that's how I met Tesseract, is simply chasing down issues with our current policy that is supposed to be leading us, but in reality, it's hindering us. And I had been working this process for about 9 months and completely stonewalled, and ran into the chain of command, the bureaucracy, as everybody knows. Trying to get a paragraph updated in the regulation was pretty slim at that point in time. And I had a lot of people telling me that this doesn't make sense. This is not going to work. I don't think you should waste your time on this. This is nothing significant. Stop wasting time. And I think the biggest takeaway that I ask any single one of my airmen, when we have processes that we want to improve, take the naysayers, take everything that they're saying, and take it with it, everything that they have, minus the emotion. Because what you can do, and what I did, is every time they said, you can't do that because of this, or you can't do that because of that, I would, in return, apply it to what I'm trying to do and see, yes, does it fit with a no category or a yes category? Do I change what I want and how I want to do this process? Does it change anything by them telling me no? Are they saying no just so they want to say no, or does it actually have some validity? And do I have to change my process a little bit? And I think the biggest thing in innovation, sometimes when we have a goal, a set expectation of, I want it to look exactly like this. And I think that mindset is very difficult, because any expectation you ever set for yourself or any project that you want to tackle, you can't always get exactly what you want. There has to be some kind of leeway of, hey, I'm going to alter this and in some way, shape, or form, and then be able to make everybody happy in some way, shape, or form. And you have to do that within inside yourself, like adjusting that expectation at some point, saying it's not going to be 100%. what I want, but is 90% going to meet the Air Force's need? And would it still be effective minus my over exaggeration of like, I want it to be exactly like this. And I think that was something that I learned along the way is take everybody's sometimes insults, sometimes everybody's opinions and put them to test them out, see if it improves your process. And by the time you get to the end, you had 15 no's and you made all of them yeses at some point. And I think when you come into the innovation side of things, you have to really look deep down into change. You have to change yourself as well when you go through this process. There's several different phases when you're dealing with process improvement. You have to improve with that process too, and you have to be open to it. And I think also when it comes down to individuals who really stonewall your process, try to find a way to get a yes out of them. And if you're not going to, they don't have to be involved in the process. And I definitely felt that at some points where I had a particular position that was saying, nope, not going to route your forms to AMC. And then I would, hey, if you don't want to do it, I understand, but I'm still going to route it with or without your blessing. And then you face challenges where people say, oh, now you're breaking the chain of command, which is very hard because that can get you in some trouble if you're not doing it tactfully. And that's a word that I learned very quickly in the innovation world is some people are not susceptible to change and they don't like it. But sometimes you have to push through, and perseverance is everything. Like I said, I was pushing 9 months for this policy change. Policy, just policy. I wasn't trying to make the next brightest fighter for the Air Force at all. I just wanted to change a few sentences. And thankfully, after Tesseract came on board, it was very quick. It was like the lights in the house turned on and everybody just started cleaning up and helping out. And it was truly like a 9-day difference from that point at 9 months in, you know, no fault of their own. There were so many people that are like, hey man, like, I understand that you want to push this through, but I'm just tired of hearing about it. And it's like, I'm tired of talking about it on deaf ears. And that altered my mindset a bit because not every single person needs to know what you're working on. No matter how proud you are, you want to brag about what you're doing. And sometimes when you get a little too proud and you're like, I'm trying to do this because of that, a lot of people want to shoot it down. And hold your cards close to your chest. Let the people that can actually impact it help, and let them hear your pitch. And I think that would be my biggest lesson to give out to everybody is play it close. And you might have a lot less issues than I had, because I thought ignorantly that if I just tell them how this works, show them the PowerPoint, and I walked them through the process, they'll say yes. No, that definitely didn't happen. I hope that answers that question.
Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like a heck of a time that you had trying to make this happen, right?
Yeah.
And something that you hit on a little bit is that, you know, we can't do this stuff alone either,
yep.
Right? And so you have to find those supporters. You have to, you know, find different organizations that will support you wherever those are. So you socialize intelligently and tactfully, like you said,
yep.
Right? And see who your supporters are. But something I want to give you props for is, you know, the resiliency to push through all of that, right? I mean, it is not easy to be told no over and over again.
Yeah.
And then actually continue moving forward, right? And not only being told no, but being sent emails telling you to stop, right? Or that you're wasting your time, what you're doing, all this time you've spent working on something wasn't worth it, right?
Yeah.
Big air quotations around that. Yeah, props to you. And thank you from us and, you know, from the Air Force for trying to make things better, because it's the only way that we're going to make, you know, lives of airmen around the force better for years to come. It's people like you. So thank you.
I appreciate that.
I would like to challenge some leaders out there to be willing to change, right? Some of us think we know the way things should be done because we know the way things have been done. And sometimes we need to get out of our own way, right?
That is very true.
Yeah. We love to call ourselves SMEs pretty often, right? And we are. We're great at what we do, and we make the mission happen every day. But just because we know the way that we do it doesn't mean we know the best way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So always keep your mind open to change.
Yeah.
And always be willing to improve, just like you were talking about. Awesome. I'd love to talk a little bit more about innovation,
yeah.
Right? There's been a big shift in the Air Force in the past couple of years and in the culture of airmen and the collaboration and things like that. And so I'd love to hear from your perspective how you've kind of seen that shift mm-hmm. in your career.
Yeah.
And then why do you think innovation is important?
Yeah, like I said, being stationed at Pope, at first it was a little rough around the edges. You know, we had a lot of civilian leaders that had been doing it for 30 years. And being able to break up that monotony of, well, this is a Popeism, and I think every single person in the Air Force at every single base, doesn't matter where you are, there is that Popeism, but insert your base name. And I think what I saw the shift was after my policy change, I had significant amount of people come out and talk to me, like, how'd you get that to go through? Like, I've been stonewalled for months, and you kind of saw our spark cell. Get a little bit more busy, which is always a good thing. And I think that kind of changed the dynamic of Pope Army Airfield. And I think once you have one yes, a big win like that, because the director of logistics, General Hurry, she actually had presented me with a letter of appreciation, mainly for the policy change and the persistence to continue fighting for innovation. And all of my peers saw that, and that was by far one of the greatest moments of that year, was working tirelessly, PowerPoint presentations, explaining the processes, being shot down and not being heard, to the director of logistics is saying thank you. And I think there's a lot of innovators out there right now that are doing thankless work every single day. And they aren't heard. And I challenge every single one of you to be persistent. Continue to own your process, live your process, and love your process, and love the aspect of innovation. And I know since I've been at Pope, our leadership team has completely shifted. We have a great leadership team. We are not a wing. We're an AMOG, so Air Mobility Operations Group, but all the way up to the top. Every single person is willing for change, and every single person is, I want innovation. I want you airmen and you leaders to go out there and fight the good fight on that front, because as of right now, after sitting through every single presentation that was offered at LOA, we're behind the curve significantly from our adversaries. And how are we going to change that? And how are we going to move forward? Can't move forward if we're doing the same things that we were doing in the Cold War. And I think if you have something that you want to bring to the table, don't be afraid. Have your voice, use it, and then make sure that you stand by it. And you don't have to do it alone. If you were able to see the Tesseract Final Four this year, if you saw the diversity on that panel for each team, that there was four or five people on each team. And that's not counting the supporting people that are behind the scenes helping facilitate the change. And that's not counting Tesseract. Like, think about one singular movement can have 20 different enactors to make this whole thing work. And think about everything that you're doing every single day. Think about the monotony. Everybody talks about it. Everybody knows about it. But what are you going to do about it? And I have some really great troops that are hungry and they want to do different things and they want to try to streamline processes. And shortly after that, we started innovating our entire armory for the base, basically streamlining inventories by creating these barcodes to speed it up almost 75%. And because we fall under army regulations, which is wonderful, let's just say. And you have to do an inventory every single month for every single serial number that you have. And we worked a process in Excel to streamline the process so it's quick, easy, effective, and we can bounce it to our equipment account. And it's little things like that you don't think of, like inventories. How can you make it better? Or I know at Pope Army Airfield, there's a Tech Sergeant Sanders, and I know he might be well known in the C-17 world for innovating a lot of things, and he actually was able to get a VR set up for training at Pope Army Airfield. It was like $20,000. He was able to get AMC to pay for it, and that gives their guys the opportunity to train every single day when there's no jets on the line. And it's surrounding yourself with that kind of company. The company you surround yourself will significantly change your productivity. And I know we're all guilty of it. We're all busy. We all have things going on. We have airmen EPBs going out, NCO EPBs going out, quarterly awards, annual awards, all of those things. And that's not counting our day-to-day jobs and admin actions, making sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to. But are you taking care of what your airmen need? And that's the job of an NCO, giving your airmen the tools to innovate, giving them the chance to show you what they got. And as a leader, you kind of have to be a little hands-off from time to time. You don't have to be on the floor every single day doing the grind when you can innovate something to make it better. There's a plethora of digital supporting agents that can streamline your process, and start looking out for it. Look for it. Look on the Tesseract page. Look at all the different programs that they have. I think you stated that there was 50 programs that submitted for the Final Four this year. 50. 3 years ago, there might have been 10. And I think it was 10. So, like, think about 50 different programs. And if you times that by 10 for each program having 10 people on them, think about how many people are individually influencing change. And I think you have to start chasing it. Chase change every single day to make things better. Because that's what our leaders are asking. They're literally asking us, we don't know what innovation looks like. You do. How are you going to do it? And that's our charge as NCOs. Develop them, mentor them, and get them the resources they need. If you have something that you don't, if you have something that you're working on and you don't have plenty enough resources to facilitate that change, start asking around. Start talking to people. Go to your Spark cell. And if they can help you there at that level, cool. If they can't, probably hear from Tesseract, and they will gladly help facilitate anything you need. And I think that's where the shift is happening. Is there's a lot more people saying change is coming, and not a lot of people saying we're going to keep doing it how we've been doing it. So,
yeah, absolutely. You definitely get it. I agree with everything you said. It's been incredible. I'm just about to 9 years as well in my career, and it's been an incredible shift, right? Like you said, just 3 years ago here at Tesseract in the EtherSprint competition, it was right around 10 submissions, right?
Yeah.
And this year we had just close to 50, and that is a lot of people trying to change things for the better.
Yeah.
Something that we maybe don't talk about enough, though, is all of the failure it took to get there, mm-hmm. right? You're not going to get it on the first try.
Right.
And if you did, there's probably still room for improvement, mm-hmm. right, on top of that. But we fail a lot.
Yeah.
And airmen fail a lot. And if there's leaders out there who are looking for what innovation looks like, unfortunately, it probably looks like a lot of failure,
mm-hmm.
right? And it looks like a lot of lessons learned.
Mm-hmm.
But those types of things are going to influence the way we do business in the future and make sure that we don't fail when it matters, right?
Exactly.
And yeah. And so that's something you got to kind of get used to, right? Is that vision of failure, but then eventually leading to success.
Yeah.
Right? And being persistent and sticking with it and continuing on until you see, you know, the golden ticket or your thing on stage or whatever it looks like, right? Or mm-hmm. or maybe it's just that airman out there doing the thing that you designed or doing the process that you changed, right?
Yeah.
Saving some time and getting to see their family at the end of the day rather than staying back to do training and that kind of stuff. So you talked a little bit about your joint experience and Pope being, an Army airfield.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear, you know, more about your experience working with the Army and working, in a joint environment.
Yeah, so working in a joint environment is definitely interesting. From MPs at the front gate and saying SARNT definitely gets you going in the first thing in the morning. And so, like I was saying earlier, Pope is a hidden gem in the Air Force. And we're doing things that I swear that I've never heard of, seen of, or dealt with before in my entire career, which keeps me on my toes. And we're always doing different things to make things better. And how are we getting the 82nd Airborne out as fast as possible? Prime example, during the Afghan withdrawal, that was Pope Army Airfield, getting all of the 82nd Airborne over there, and getting them ready to fight. And I thought that was one of the coolest things to see, just seeing lines and lines and lines of Army soldiers getting after it, getting ready to go fight the good fight to get all of the airmen out of Afghanistan as well as all of our supporting partners. And like I said, from the top down, every single person in that chain is wanting change. And they are asking, how do we innovate? How do we make things faster? And how do we get after things a lot better? And we own that process. And we're always asked to do more. And I know a lot of bases say the same thing, like we're doing more exercises and we're doing this and it's this and that and it's always something is going on. Hey, it's better to practice hard than not to practice at all. So as you can tell, like that's a huge feat. And that's just because people at Pope, like, this is our bread and butter. We're doing less with more, and we're doing more every single day. And our leadership team, I think I was hearing our Colonel Wolf, great leader, very, very, very aggressive and very upfront with you, and let's get to business kind of person. And I think he said there was 800 people that helped and supported this entire movement. And they gave out 420 decorations. Tell you, that was one long commander's call. That was a long one. So they broke it up a little bit, but that's something else. Give the recognition where it's due, especially when you're innovating and streamlining processes. Throw those names up for your airmen. Get them the recognition that they deserve, because it is very much a cause and effect. If you're doing things to make the Air Force better, and your airmen are doing things to make the Air Force better, you have ownership in the process. You have ownership in the process. You're going to have pride in what you do. You have pride in what you do. You have fulfillment in what you do. If you're fulfilled, you're going to keep being hungry. And something I always tell my airmen, especially when we're doing a lot of things and a lot of innovating and trying to get after things, is stay hungry, but stay humble. Like, remember, like, we're doing this because we want to make this better, not because we want to profit from any of this. Like, we fully want the change. We're not doing it to chase anything else, and other than positive results.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to second the recognition part, right? Recognize your people as much as you can. We all put on the uniform every day, and we all take the oath, and we all know what our duty is, right? We're here for a reason, and we know that. But when you're head down, you know, fighting through change or just pushing the mission every day, sometimes things can get monotonous, and sometimes things can get, repetitive. And it happens to everybody that, you know, sometimes maybe you question what you're doing, right? Or why you're here, or things like that. Mm-hmm. It's the recognition or the seeing the mission happen. Those types of things that, like you said, will drive you forward, right?
Yeah.
That'll take you to the next day. It'll take you to the next mission. That'll make you want to change more things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, it's different for everybody too. Everybody has their own drive, and you got to find out what that drive is, and then keep moving it and keep fueling it. It's definitely a very unique experience being at Pope, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
That joint environment, working with the Army day in and day out. One of your primary responsibility is getting the 82nd out the door and downrange, along with all their support equipment, and that's a great mission,
mm-hmm.
And a very necessary mission. If you've never seen the 82nd jump out of planes, it's a pretty unique capability that we do very well, and I think sometimes we take for granted, but we make it happen every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a joint environment, both sides of the house. Are coming together to make the mission happen and employ force where it's necessary.
Yeah.
You hit a little bit on where we're at right now, being at the Logistics Officer Association Symposium here in St. Louis. Could you tell me more about, you know, some of the things you learned this week and, maybe why this event was a good experience for you?
Yeah, and as some of you guys know out there, LOA was usually just an officer program, and just recently they started branching it out. And I think the first day, which was just LOA University, wasn't the symposium. They had a record number of 1,100 attendees, which is amazing. And I think the main thing to kind of take away is you're in rooms with logisticians and maintenance and ammo, and you have every other AFSC. I saw TMO here. We had some Australian Air Force, some United Kingdom Air Force here as well. And this opportunity, I challenge every single command out there to push for people to come here. I know Colonel Wolf, who works at Pope Army Airfield, he literally told us after yesterday's sessions, hey, let's get more people here next year. Let's get some more diversity here. Let's get some airmen out here. And I agree. Like, the things you learn in these classes are getting us ready for the next fight and discussing different things that we're not doing right or what do we need to improve and how are we going to be an agile force moving forward and how things that we might not have heard of before or things that we've heard 1,000 times, but in different ways to kind of make our minds open up a little bit more. But the biggest thing that I've learned from LOA is the networking. There is so many things going on with conversations with people. We were just talking to A4 yesterday about, hey, we need this done for Pope so that we get mated tires at Pope because we don't have a wheel and tire shop. And they were like, cool, we'll fix it. Okay, cool. I'm going to take down your information. You take down mine. Cool. Didn't even know who they were before. We were just shooting emails to org boxes, not getting anywhere. And it's those connections that will make us a fighting force that we'll be reckoned with in the future. and I would love to see more airmen here next year. I'd love to see that interaction and seeing how they interpret our Air Force, because in these classrooms, they're classrooms, and you're sitting here listening to lieutenant colonels and LTs battling it out, like, hey, what if we did it this way? Or how about this? Or we've done it this way at Little Rock. Well, we learned at Whiteman Air Force Base that we would do this. You know, it's interesting to see those conversations continuously evolve through the session. And there's so many different classes that teach you different things. And I was sitting in one class that I was very glad that I chose to go to. It was basically breaking down, like, how do we get our airmen into the fight? And how do I reach my airmen better? And understanding that when I came in the Air Force, everybody said, these airmen nowadays, they're just not cutting it. And here I am, 9 years in, and I hear people saying the exact same thing. It's a generational thing. However, we have to realize that the airmen that are coming in today are more technically savvy than any other fighting force that has come into the military. I struggle routing a printer. Like, they can do it just like with the click of a few buttons without even thinking about it, which is crazy. Just showing my age, I guess. But seeing where their minds go with things. And it should be a mesh of old versus new, and like how we used to do it needs to kind of evolve. And we're guilty of the same. Like, you know, I've been doing this 10 years now, and it's like, oh, well, I remember when we were doing it like this. Well, it's not that way anymore. And seeing how they go with it and how wherever they run with it, let them run with it. Mm-hmm. What's the worst that happens? They fall down, they fail a little bit. That's fine. And I'm very blessed in my current position. I have an amazing boss, Master Sergeant Brittany Yunt. She is always open to pretty much anything. She's willing to let things fail so that we can show like what we can do next. And she gives me the freedom to run with pretty much anything. And that's the kind of boss that I aspire to be. And that's what I want to bestow upon my airmen is, hey, come to these courses, come to these classes, take some good notes and think about things. Go to these vendors and talk to them and see what they have to offer. And if you think that we can bring something online that would significantly impact our footprint, okay, cool, let's do it. Let's get after it. Let's see what we can come up with. Let's brainstorm together so I can see how you break down processes. And if you struggle a little bit, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to guide you. And if you need me to kind of chair it a little bit at some points in time, that's fine. I'll help you through it. And I think that's the biggest thing that LOA provides to us. And I think we need to embrace LOA and get more people out here for next year. And I think next year is going to be in Texas. So maybe there's going to be a lot more people that are a little bit more enticed going to Texas versus Missouri. So we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully that happens, right? Yeah. Hopefully we get a lot more people out here to the logistics symposium. And to all the listeners who aren't familiar, at Headquarters Air Force, the A4 is the Directorate of Logistics, Maintenance, Force Protection, and Civil Engineering, right? But A4L at HAF is, you know, normally just thought of as logistics, but it encompasses both logistics and maintenance. So maintainers are considered, per the Air Force, logisticians, right? Mm-hmm. So you're as a maintainer myself, your first reaction might be to argue that point, but I would argue back and say to embrace it, right? Yeah. Logistics wins wars. And we run logistics on the flight line every day as maintainers, right? Mm-hmm. And working with our partners in supply and in the LRSs, we can't make the mission happen without all of us. Yep. And we're all one team.
Yeah. So. Just to kind of go off on that point, if you're a maintainer and you're trying to innovate processes, I swear to God, there's probably like 35% of everybody that is here at LOA is wearing a maintenance badge. So if you don't think that this is necessarily for you, you're definitely wrong. They're talking about weapon systems here. They're talking about age issues. They're talking about everything that the maintenance world needs to be talking about. And how do we integrate maintenance and supply together as one? And also integrating other agencies and other things to help facilitate things that maybe supply and maintenance aren't doing a good job on or communicating. And I think it's amazing to kind of see how many maintainers are actually here. And let's be real, maintainers don't get go to TDY very often. And to have them go TDY to a logistics conference is exactly what we need to be doing as an Air Force to push things forward.
Absolutely. And I would push that a little bit further and say collaborate more often. If you're in maintenance, just walk over your LRS and talk to people, right? Get to know their processes better and better understand kind of what they do and what drives them and also where they struggle, right? We often are just waiting for parts from supply. That's the only thing we see, right? Mm-hmm. Is when you walk over to pick up a, you know, either be a screw or a tire or, you know, an entire wing of an airplane or wherever you're at, right? You just get that those parts, but there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes that you would definitely help you appreciate the way things are done, and maybe you guys can figure out how to work together better.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. So we do this, we're kind of bringing this back. This is one of the probably the third podcast we're bringing this back on. Some rapid fire questions at the end.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so we'll go ahead and get started. If you were an Avenger, who would you be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Probably... That's a good one. Iron Man, for sure. Obviously.
Yeah, but I'd say the same.
Yeah. Being rich sounds pretty great. And then being able to fly wherever you want to be and do anything that you want to do, it sounds pretty cool. And
yeah.
You're always making weapon systems like, okay, all right, cool, let's do it.
If you just give me the lab from Tony Stark's basement lab from the first Iron Man, I'd take that.
Yeah.
Favorite musical instrument?
Sounds weird, but I absolutely love the violin. Don't play it, but something about it just kind of hits the soul. And live music as a whole, I'm always a huge fan of it. So, but violin for sure.
Awesome. iPhone or Android?
Android, yeah.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're on vacation. Where are you going?
Hawaii. Yeah, just mainly because there's going to be some people out there that chuckle at this, but being stationed at Whiteman Air Force Base, our deployments are a little bit different, and our deployments are to tropical islands, so, and they're only like 45 days-ish, maybe, if you're lucky. So,
yeah.
Going to get deployed there was great, but if it wasn't Hawaii, it would definitely be Europe, and I would say Italy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was actually... I was at HICM for 7 years, and I was there when Whiteman deployed out.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
We were probably right next to each other.
Yeah, for sure.
Favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Ooh, you know, it's kind of interesting you say that, because, like, when I was in high school, that was my nickname, was really? Indiana. Yeah, so because my last name's Jones, but always go with the original.
Okay.
Always. Yeah.
And then your superpower is what?
I think my superpower would be persistence, which I don't know if that constitutes superpower, but if I'm passionate about something, I'm not going to give up on it. And I will chase it down as far as I can. And if I have to go into a ditch and create a whole nother path, then I will. I just don't like giving up on things. And I think that's the only reason why I'm in this room right now. Don't give up on your process. Don't give up on your people. Don't give up on the change that the Air Force needs. And continue to be persistent. I think that's my biggest takeaway. And that's like my biggest superpower. Because you can ask my boss. She's like, I don't know how you keep running after this stuff. And I'm like, I just can't give up on it. Like, I'm too invested.
Yeah. That's a superpower in our book.
Yeah.
So. Awesome. Well, thanks, Sergeant Jones. Thanks for joining us today. And it's been an honor to have you on the show.
Yeah, for sure. And I thank you. Thank you for having me. And I think there's one last thing I always try to leave with, a quote or a motto of some sort. And I've used this for, I'm 30, so I can say decades now. So, but, I think this is exactly the motto that innovation needs. And it's if you know where it's from, I'm not going to say where it's from, but if you know, you know. A few brief moments of pain are worth a lifetime of glory. Grind, get it done. Everything else will follow after that. So,
awesome.
But thank you once again for having me. It's a true honor. And I hope everybody gets out to Eloy next year.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any references to trademarked, copyrighted, or protected products or services, such as books, movies, or businesses, are used here for the limited purpose of education and professional development of Air Force airmen. If you have any questions, please contact us at www.tesseract.af.mil.